Okay, so we'll just read Hebrews 11, verse 30 and 31, and then we're going to flick back to Joshua chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 2 down to 25. So Hebrews 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. I'm going to turn to Joshua chapter 2. And we'll start reading in verse 1. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly, you may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the 2 kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we're doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, go to the hills, so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourself there for 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. Now the men had said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless we, when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers and all your family into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the 2 men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. Okay, we'll stop reading just there for now, and let's take a moment to pray as we look at his word together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you teach us through it. Please speak now to our hearts. Use these words to change us and to grow us to be like your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Which side will you choose? Today we have lots of choices, don't we? Lots of sides vying for our vote or for our custom. Maybe Bord Gáis or Electric Ireland. when the salesmen call round the doors. Maybe Three or Vodafone, Renault or Volkswagen, Man United or Liverpool, Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil, Pro-Life or Pro-Choice, Deal or No Deal. Each side will try to convince you why you should join them, or maybe even switch sides. But there is one ultimate decision that must be made, one not made just for the here and now, but one that echoes into eternity. And when it comes to spiritual matters, or things of eternity, there are only two sides. There's the Lord's side, or the world's side, led in rebellious defiance by Satan. There's only two sides when it comes to these things. With a phone provider, you may not yet have signed up to any. You may be still looking for the best deal. But when it comes to God, we've already nailed our colours to the mast. We're either with the Lord or we're not. And he is always longing that more would join him, because he loves us. Will we choose the Lord's side? Today in Hebrews, we read of someone who made that decision to choose the Lord's side. We read of Rahab, and we read of a nation who continued walking, literally, on the Lord's side. So if we choose the Lord's side, we must accept God's power and authority. So if we choose the Lord's side, we must accept his power and authority. Rahab had heard about what Yahweh, so when we read the Old Testament, if we see Lord in all the capitals, that's the name of God. Maybe Yahweh or Jehovah. But she had heard of what the God of Israel, Yahweh, had done. Look at chapter 2 in Joshua, verse 10. She said, "We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites, east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed." Reports of Yahweh's acts caused great fear among her and her people. News had spread about what Yahweh had done. Word got around the ancient world about this God of Israel. Have you heard what their God has done? How no one could stand in his way, not even a sea, which the Lord dried up. What God had done for his people Israel became known. Israel were a light to the nations around them, a light beckoning people to come to Yahweh, that people would come to the Lord. But here, the mighty acts of God led to great fear among those living in Jericho. They heard the news about Yahweh, and their hearts melted in fear. The people's courage failed. But we see that Rahab's fear led to faith. She accepted God's power in his mighty acts and his authority. Remember, if we choose the Lord's side, we must accept his power and his authority. She said, "For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." And this is the basis behind her decision to act to protect the spies. She saw what God did and gave him the credit for what he had done and who he is. Usually in sport, we've already chosen sides, haven't we? Our team is the best, the greatest. They are the champions. But sometimes we need to give credit to another. The Rugby World Cup is coming soon, so rugby's on my mind. Do you remember a few months back, maybe you don't want to, Ireland versus England in the Six Nations? We'd chosen our side. They were the best. They were the greatest. But we probably should have given credit to England for being the better team, the more powerful team, the more accurate team, the winners. We saw it with our own eyes, and we probably should have given credit where it was due. Well, Rahab heard what God had done, and she accepted those acts to be from Yahweh. And she gave credit to him as the one who's Lord of heaven and earth. Your God, he's the God. If we choose the Lord's side, we must accept God's power and his authority. But when we hear about God's powerful acts, do we accept those as real? Or do we think, well, they're great stories? They're really good moral teachings for society, but hardly miraculous. God's power is real, and he has done awesome miracles recorded for us. And do we attribute them to the one who is Lord of heaven and earth? Think about the life of Jesus. He demonstrated incredible power and authority. He performed miracles while on earth, which serve to demonstrate and point people to who he really is. Ultimately, his death and his resurrection demonstrated his power and his authority over sin and death. What do we do with those? When we see and hear of these things, whose side do we choose? Whose side do we choose every day? Do we submit to God's power and authority? Yes. What about the next day? And the next day? Do we submit to his power and authority over my health? Over my finances? Over my career? Over my family? Those are things that God has power over and authority. And do we submit to him in those ways? When we're tempted to switch sides, tempted to think like everyone else, follow the path of least resistance, which side do we choose? Well, if we choose the Lord's side, we must respond with acts of faith. If we choose the Lord's side, we must respond with acts of faith. Having chosen the Lord's side above that of her own people, we see Rahab's faith in action. We see extraordinary and ordinary acts of faith. When you choose a side, it shows, doesn't it? You wear the colours of your chosen team. You spend money. You drive for hours. You fly to another country just to watch them play. Maybe it's choosing a side in a political debate. You wear the t-shirt, get the car bumper sticker. You travel to rallies, speak with neighbours. Maybe you've chosen a side in school. You now dress like them, talk like them, avoid the others in the other groups. Because when we choose a side, it shows. When Rahab chose a side, it showed. Instead of reporting the spies and revealing them, as would have been expected of her, because she was part of that city, part of that people, she betrayed her own people. And she welcomed the spies, hiding them from the king of Jericho. This was certainly a daring and risky strategy, but one that she felt was worth the risk, given the greater danger that Yahweh posed. The danger of not submitting to Yahweh was far greater than the danger of handing over the spies. Her actions are described in James chapter 2 as being worked out from faith. It says, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Her welcome to the spies and her protection for them was an extraordinary act of faith. recognizing Yahweh, seeing who he is, and throwing herself on his mercy. So choosing the Lord's side must lead to acts of faith. We also read of the Israelites' act of faith in marching around Jericho. Let's read a bit more of the story. Flick to chapter 6, Joshua chapter 6. Reading from verse 2. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets on ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone, straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the army, "Advance, march around the city, with an armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets, before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, "Do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord, destroyed with the sword every living thing, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. This was the obedient response of this nation, the people of Israel, to what God had called them to do. Their response was an act of faith. But much more ordinary than a daring defiance of a king. They had to walk around the city again and again and again and again and again. Ordinary actions in obedience to God. And God worked through their obedience. On the 7th day, after 7 more laps of the city, the trumpet sounded, the cry went up, and the walls came crashing down. And we're told in Hebrews that it was by faith the walls of Jericho fell. The people trusted God to work, and that trust worked its way out by walking. Walking and walking and walking. Not very trendy or flashy, just walking. So whose side do we choose? What will our response be? We may be called to extraordinary acts of faith at points in our lives, exceptional times of bravery or kindness, of courage or strength or patience. These will come and the Lord will help. But most of the time, it will just be walking. Walking and walking and walking. Ordinary acts of faith will come out when we choose the Lord's side. Living for Jesus by thanking him for another day of good food and a house to live in. Working with integrity, especially when someone's not watching. Sharing what little or lots that you have with others. Asking probing or challenging questions of your colleagues at work. Which side will we choose? And what will our response be? So finally, if we choose the Lord's side, God's protection and inclusion are sure. So if we choose the Lord's side, God's protection and inclusion are sure. Choosing the Lord's side means choosing the side of safety and victory. The Israelites obeyed the Lord, continuing to choose his side, and the victory was theirs. Rahab chose the Lord's side, and she was kept safe. She was rescued. But she didn't deserve to be. She was an outsider. She was not part of the people of God. She wasn't an Israelite. As a woman and as a prostitute, as we're told, she would have even been on the fringes of her own society. Even her house was on the outer part of the city wall. But simply by putting her faith in Yahweh, the God of Israel, she was protected. Look what happened to her in chapter 6, verse 22. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her, in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp. Look at verse 25, where she ended up. "But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day." An entire city destroyed, yet by her act of faith, God demonstrated his grace and mercy by rescuing Rahab from that fate. She was protected from this awful destruction, and she was included into God's people. And it was this act of faith that qualified her to become one of God's people. No longer was she a Canaanite, she was an Israelite, because she trusted in the God of Israel. But that was the last we read of Rahab in the Old Testament. Maybe that was the end of her intriguing story. Maybe she moved away and didn't continue on with the Israelites. Well, she pops up again in the New Testament, and we suddenly realize how significant a place Rahab came to hold. She married a man called Salmon. We all know Salmon, don't we? Well, maybe you know his son, Boaz, who married Ruth. And we begin to see that Rahab joined King David's family line. More than that, this is the line of the Messiah, of Jesus. His line included Rahab. From the outsider in the city wall of Jericho to as inside as you can get, the royal line of Jesus. Choosing the Lord's side means protection and inclusion are sure. The Lord is powerful to save, and he brings people into his family and into his purposes in the world. Rahab was protected from destruction in Jericho, and included into God's people because she acted in faith. For us, by responding in faith, we're protected from a far greater disaster. From God's coming judgment of this world, not just of one city, but of this world. And we're included into God's eternal family and into a new life now among his people, here, right now. The disaster is God's judgment coming, this eternal destruction. And this new family, we're a member of his new family, spending eternity in his new world, placed in an earthly family, the church, to serve him while we're here. So just like Rahab was an outsider, she was welcomed in. For the outsider, you are welcome. God welcomes you. Think of what God could do through you. He has plans for you. He wants you to choose his side and to join his wonderful family. Look what he did for Rahab. No matter how outside you feel, how far from God you could be, how different you think you are from those sitting around you, you're not. We were once all outsiders with God. All of us are sinners. None of us are here because we earned it. Trust in God's mighty acts. He has incredible things in store for you. For the insider, let's not forget that we are all Rahabs. None of us deserving entry into God's family. None of us born with a right to be included. All of us having lived the way we wanted. But God had mercy on us. Choosing the Lord's side, we have joined his family. Now let's be that family. How do we treat and welcome and love the outsider? How can we engage with and love someone who's not like us? Who didn't grow up coming to church? Or does a job that I don't really understand? Or seems to be a little bit unstable in life? Or just really doesn't look after themselves? How can we be the people who loves the outsider and includes them in God's family? Which side will you choose? Jesus' side? The Lord's side? Or will you stay where you are? Is it worth the switch? Well, let me plead with you to say that it is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way in which you have given people through history as examples for us. We thank you for the examples of Rahab and of your people Israel in the way in which they acted in faith. We thank you, Lord, that when we act in faith, you have mercy on us. You show us your grace. You enable us to trust you, Lord. You send your Spirit to help us to live for you, to trust you each and every day. And Lord, help us to be the people who choose your side day in, day out. As temptations come, as challenges come, as good times come, Lord, help us to choose your side, to walk in acts of faith, and rest in your protection and in your family. And Lord, we pray these things in your precious name. Amen. Before we come to a time around the Lord's table,